Our final reading tells us of the wise men who come to worship the newborn king. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least amongst the rulers of Judea, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's great to be with you all, and greetings from Eastbourne. I'm sorry to swear in Hastings over here, but it's great to be with you all, and it's great to be able to think a bit together now tonight about Christmas and the true meaning. Now, I don't know if you know, but December is the month of celebration. Back on the 5th of December was National Ninja Day. Now, I don't know if any of you thought about that or even knew about that. And some of you say, "Well, I didn't even see that one coming." Well, that's because it was National Ninja Day. That's the key there. But also, coming up tomorrow, I think it is National Cover Anything in Chocolate Day. And I'm sure that would be a brilliant day for you, as long as it's the good quality dairy milk stuff and not that cheap Kinnerton rubbish. So cover anything in chocolate. Go to school tomorrow, cover your tie in chocolate, chew on it. See what happens. Now, coming up on December the 18th, there's another celebratory day, and that day is called National Wear a Plunger on Your Head Day. And yeah, exactly, apparently it's a thing, apparently. The idea is you wear a clean new plunger on your head, and it's for any of you who are out there a bit slightly kind of left of centre, a bit odd maybe, I don't know. But it's a key day to put in your diaries, apparently. But then, of course, December the 25th is the day that we know as the daddy of all celebratory days in December, Christmas Day. And it's the day which people celebrate across not just this country, but across the world as well. And on that day, we remember, really, the best gift ever being given. You know, I don't know if you ever thought, why is it that Christians bang on about Christmas Day? Well, it's because we celebrate how God, in the person of his son Jesus, became this human being, became flesh and blood in reality, in fact, in history 2,000 years ago. And that is an absolutely massive thing. And one of the readings we had earlier was telling us that this name of this child, Jesus, would also be called Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. And so we're in this human flesh that we had 2,000 years ago, God becoming flesh. What we have in this person is not God aloof and God distant from us, but it tells us that the God of the universe is actually wants to be with us. He wants to come and live with us and know us and for us to enjoy him in our lives. Now, that's either a load of twaddle and you should burn your Christmas jumpers and not celebrate Christmas. And some of you look at my Christmas jumper and think you should burn that one anyway, whether it's true or not. And that's a fair comment. Either it's a load of twaddle and we should burn our Christmas jumpers, or it's absolutely true. And if it's true, it means we should crack open the celebrations and the heroes and all those kind of things. And we should celebrate because it means that actually God has communicated with us and he wants us to know him. And what he says to us is that we can actually know the God who created this universe. Here's a question. How do we know whether it's a load of twaddle or whether this is true, that God became flesh 2,000 years ago? Well, the last story we had read to us, and by the way, it was brilliant readings, and particularly the kids, it was great readings, especially I think it's Uma who read Quirinius correctly. I'd always had nightmares about reading that word out, but you said it perfectly. But one of the stories we just read to us was the story of the wise men. And it's as we listen to that story and think about it that it helps us work out whether this stuff is actually true or not. And what the wise men end up doing is what I think we need to do. And they do two things. They follow the star and they look at the book. So they follow the star and they look at the book. Listen again to the reading, a bit of it anyway. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Now straight away there, we're told that these wise men come from the east. And in particularly the first chunk of the Bible, the Old Testament, when someone's living in the east, often it's a sign that they are disconnected and cut off and separated from God. And so we get this hint that these guys are wise, and yet they don't know the God of this universe. They're not having this relationship with him that's personal. They don't know him. They're cut off. And that's, I think, a really interesting thing, because they realize that they are cut off, and yet what are they doing in their lives? Well, they're looking to the heavens. See, these wise men, we know from the area roughly of Persia, kind of Iran, modern-day Iran. And these guys were stargazers. And they had this belief that one day this divine king, this God king, would have a star that would appear, and would appear, and this divine king would actually turn up in the flesh, in reality. And so they had this longing, and they were, with whatever was going on in their lives, looking outside of themselves for hope to come in to the world in which they lived. Hope to come into the mess and to lift them out of it. And what they begin to do is follow the star to try and find out who and what this divine king actually is or was. Now, we live in quite balmy times today. And I guess it was hinted at a bit in the prayers that we had earlier. But we live in quite kind of strange times. And as I travel around a bit, I tend to meet people, you sense that there's this growing dissatisfaction with the way life is for us all. A growing dissatisfaction with the life scripts that we've been given and told. You know, if you believe in yourself, you could be anything you want to be, and one day you will achieve whatever your dreams are. And we were promised in this kind of golden internet age that we'd have this unfettered freedom where we could go anywhere and do anything and be anyone. And at first that seemed really, really exciting and exhilarating for us. Just the world is our oyster, you know, like a kid in a candy shop. It seemed really exciting. But yet, as I kind of go around, it seems that you chat to people and it seems that this so-called freedom has actually shackled us and hasn't done what we expected it to do. And we just feel as though we're on this perpetual treadmill, this hamster wheel, if you like, just running round and around and around and going absolutely nowhere. And so as you talk with people, and as I'm sure you chat with people in your family and friends, there's a sense that there's this growing anger and viral anxiety about life and about where we're at, as not just people out there, but as ourselves as well. And people seem fried. We're like these eggs that have been cracked open, shoved in a frying pan, fried, overdone, and just like really we feel as though we're dried out. Why is that? Well, the Bible says it's not just the wise men 2,000 years ago who are living in the East. It's not just the wise men, but actually all of us are. We're all living these lives disconnected from the God who's there. And that is, we've loved all the kind of things that we can have from God. We've loved the relationships that are good. We've loved good friendships. We've loved good food. We've loved having just the air we breathe and holidays and whatever it may be. And we've loved all these different things we have in life. And what we've done is we've stored them up for ourselves, packed them in the car, and we've driven off into the east, away from God. And what we've really said is to God is, we want your kind of kingdom in this world. We want all the good stuff, but we don't want you. We don't want the king. And we've kind of snowplowed God and Jesus out of the picture of our lives and out of this world. And so we're all living in the east. And yet we have these longings and these questions and these concerns about where we're at as a culture right now. So what do we do? Well, we're to do what the wise men do. They've got these nagging questions and they follow the star. They follow the truth wherever it leads. And they go from this area of modern-day Iran, Persia, and they travel all the way over to Jerusalem. And it's interesting because in the story, the star can only get them so far. Because they want to know, who is this divine king? Who can come and join us in this mess and take us out of it and sort out this world and our lives? Well, they follow the star. It comes to Jerusalem, but the king isn't there. Listen to what happens next. It says, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So the star only gets them so far. What do they need to do next? Well, they follow the star and they need to look at the book. That is, they come to Herod, and Herod's the king of this particular area at this time. And they say, well, where is this divine king to be born? Herod doesn't have a Scooby. I've got no idea. I've got really no idea. So he goes to his big advisors and he says, look, can you find out where this God king is supposed to be born? And they scroll through their literal scrolls, the Old Testament, and what they discover is this book called Micah. This guy was a prophet of God, and he was writing about 700 years before the events of Jesus' birth. And in this scroll, they discover that this divine king was to be born in Bethlehem. And you see, for them to work out and know who and what this divine king is, they need to look at the book. That is, they need to look at the Bible. And I don't know if you've ever done that for yourself. I'm sure you know that the Bible is history's number one best-selling book, year in, year out, across the world. I always find the comedian Lee Mack quite amusing. Well, it's his job to be a comedian, so he should be quite amusing. But he once was asked about, on Desert Island Discs, what books he would take with him. And he was talking about how he would be glad to receive a Bible, because he said, I've never, ever read the Bible. And he said, look, but this is, it's a bit weird, isn't it? Because he said something along these lines. He said, look, just imagine one day an alien suddenly rocks up into this world and suddenly starts talking to you and says to you, well, what's all this world about? Is there a God? What's the purpose to life? What's it all about? And you respond to the alien, well, Mr. Alien, we have a book that purports to tell us the truth about God and the world and us. And the alien gets really excited and goes, oh, wow, what is it? What's the truth? And then you say, well, do you know what? I've never actually read the book. And he says the alien would just be so frustrated with you. But he says that at least what you must do is pick up the book and read it. And Lee Mack's definitely not a believer or a Christian. But he has some wise advice. We pick up the book to discover what it says about God and the world and us. The wise men with Herod do that, and what do they discover? Well, there's a little phrase which describes that this God King will also be a shepherd. And you think, well, what does that mean, a shepherd king? How does that kind of work? Well, Claire's my wife, we've got a friend, just the one. We're currently in therapy to try and get some more friends out there. If anyone wants to be a friend, come talk to me afterwards. Maybe down to the jumper, I know. Anyway, we've got this friend called Henry, and he's a farmer, he's a shepherd. And one day we were out on the South Downs, and we were walking there, and we saw Henry in the distance, and we waved to him, and we said, hello, Henry. And he came over, and we looked at his arm, and we said, Henry, do you notice you're kind of bleeding there? You've got these puncture wounds on your arm. And he said, oh, yeah. Just a few moments ago, a member of the public let their dog off the lead amongst all of his sheep. And he said, well, I had to, because the dog was kind of going wild and trying to attack the sheep, I had to run over to the dog, rugby tackle it to the ground, and give it back to the owner and have a few sharp words with him. And two things kind of raced through my mind. Firstly, I'll never ever be that manly. But the second one was, isn't that a brilliant picture about what a good shepherd actually is all about? And I was reminded that in the Bible, how Jesus himself, when he grew up, he said, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. So Jesus says he's the good shepherd, he lays down his life for the sheep. And so if you go with that picture of the story I was just describing, you see, Jesus comes into this world as God. He becomes this human being, and he's the king of the world. And what does he do? Well, he sees this big savage dog, this wolf, if you like, of hellish judgment that we deserve for the ways that we've not loved God and other people. He sees it running at us. And what does Jesus do? Does he run away and go, well, you deal with that yourself, enjoy getting savage? No, he doesn't. He comes down into the world and he takes on that wolf of judgment for us. And he gets punctured, he gets pierced, he gets maimed, he suffers and dies. Why? So that us, the sheep, can go free, so that we can munch on the grass. That is, so that we can know the God of this universe and enjoy forgiveness for all the ways that we've not loved God and other people as we should. This is what these guys were starting to discover as they looked at the book, that this king isn't a tyrant, isn't a despot, isn't a dodgy dictator, but actually he's the shepherd king who's come into the world to give everything for us. And I wonder, when you think about God and you think about what comes into your mind when you think about God, I wonder what that might be. For some people, it's this kind of black hole view of God, that at the center of the universe is this God who just loves to suck the life out of everything, loves to suck everything into himself because he's self-absorbed and so utterly selfish. And yet, it's as you look at Jesus, this God King who became flesh 2,000 years ago, it's as you look at this Jesus who then grew up into this man and died on the cross, it's as you look at Jesus that it's actually then that you get to see what this king, what this God King is really like. And you see him there dying on the cross, bleeding and dying for you and me. And you go, wow, this is God, and God is like this. This is how much he loves you. This is how much he wants you so much that he gives up everything for you so that you can be forgiven and know him. So these wise men, they do those two things. They follow the star, they look at the book, and they see actually Jesus is very, 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 very good news. And I wonder, as I finish here, how you react to that news about Jesus. And there are three brief responses that we see in the story about the wise men. The first one is the wise men in their younger days as they are actually exploring and following the star. And that's the first kind of response, that maybe the response that you're having tonight. I want to explore. If this is true, I need to read the book. I need to look at the book. I need to discover who this Jesus is. And if that's where you're at tonight, and this is all quite fresh and quite alien to you or quite new to you, and you're going, wow, if this is true, this would change everything, then you need to pick up a book. You need to pick up a book from the Bible, one of the biographies of Jesus' life. And they're available for free at the back. They're called John and Mark and Luke. But grab one on the table at the back as you go. Because that will show you what this Jesus really is like. And you can look at the book for yourself. And so maybe that's the place you're at tonight to explore. But then there's a second reaction. And the second reaction is the reaction of Herod. See, Herod goes all angry bird at Jesus. He wants this baby Jesus, this child Jesus, to be killed. And he orders, as you see a bit later in the story, all the kids, all the boys under two to be put to death. Now, Herod had some anger issues. My kids are into horrible histories, and we've got the horrible histories top trumps. And King Herod from the Bible is in top trumps horrible histories. And his despicable deeds is the top trump for badness, for bad actions. Actually, he's in the same category as Joseph Stalin. He joins him and Adolf Hitler, because he was a very angry man. He did a lot of murderous things. But why was Herod so angry? I think the answer is, he realises who Jesus is. He doesn't deny who Jesus is. He knows he's this divine king. And that grates with him because he wants to be the king of his own life and of his own world. It's my life, it's my body, it's my future. That kind of thing. And I wonder if that's your reaction tonight. And you see, there's this kind of mini Herod inside each one of us that we want to wear the crown on our own lives. And yet, I think that's the reason why there's so many problems in this world, is because each of us has got a crown on, saying, I'm king, no, I'm king, no, I'm king. And we're headbutting each other and causing all kinds of problems because we're all trying to effectively run the world. And if your reaction is that of anger, I'd urge you to take another look at Jesus, because he comes as a good king, as the good king that you need and I need. He's the good king who loves you so much, he gives up everything for you. Well, maybe that's your response. And then there's the final response. And I'll just read it in the last couple of verses from this story. And it's the response of adoration. So maybe you want to, maybe you're exploring, maybe there's the anger, maybe there's the adoration. So listen to this. On coming to the house, the wise men saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The question is, why do these wise men get down on their hands and knees and pour out their treasures to this child, Jesus? It's got to be because they realise that he's not just a child, as beautiful as all children are. He's not just a child. He's actually God in the flesh. And they're overwhelmed that God would come into the world for them, and for all of us, for each one of us. And they're just like, wow, if God would do this for us, then we're going to pour out our treasures. We're going to give everything back to him. And isn't that the best kind of relationship you can have, where two people give up everything for each other? I know in Claire's and my marriage, when we're both giving up everything for each other, it's great and it's brilliant. But when I'm being selfish or holding things back, it makes for difficulties and problems. And what we've been seeing here in the wise men is these people who say, look, God has given up everything for me. I'm going to lay down my life and say, yeah, God, you come into my life. Jesus, you come and be the king. You be the one who leads my life on from now on and forevermore. Because I can trust you, because I know that you've come into this world for me and you're going to give up your life for me. And that just leaves me to ask you tonight, as I finish here, will you have Jesus as your king? Will you take off the crown off your own head and say, Jesus, it really does belong to you. And actually, you know what you're doing, and you love me, and I can trust you because I've seen you've given up everything for me. If that's you, then why not pray a prayer tonight where you receive the gift of Jesus into your life? This is the prayer I'm going to pray if you'd like to ask Jesus to come and be your king tonight. It's blatantly stolen from O Little Town of Bethlehem. But it's these words, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to me, I pray. Cast out my sin and enter in. Be born in me today. O come to me, abide with me, my Lord Emmanuel. Now, if you want to pray that, I'm going to pray that through more slowly, and I'll pause after every sentence or so. And you can echo those words just quietly in your heart and mind to Jesus right now. So let's pray, if that's something you'd like to do. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to me, I pray. Cast out my sin and enter in. Be born in me today. O come to me, abide with me, my Lord Emmanuel. Amen.